And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I'm going to decline video because...
Okay.
Yeah, we just do audio. We don't need video.
Well, I'm still...
Sounds good.
I'm hideous.
I'm shirtless, right? Like, no one's here. Ashley's at work. Chris is in fucking Ohio. So I'm just sitting here in shorts. That's it. I love it.
Yeah, I don't need to see your beach body.
My like, fat, hairy man tits are on full display. It's fantastic.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you.
This is what you've walked into.
I hope you listen to an episode or two to get an idea.
I was going to, but I've been way too busy, so I'm kind of jumping headfirst into this diving, so to speak. So I'm totally up for any and all of this. This is cool. Thank you, guys.
That's good news, and we don't have to go over the spiel of what
you
to
are
expect.
So fucked. Pardon my coughing. I just kind of woke up and Ashley's been sick, so I think I'm getting kind of gunk throat going on.
What the hell do you kind of wake up at 9 o'clock at night?
Because I kind of go to bed around noon.
That's kind of not right.
Well, I kind of woke up really late yesterday because I spent the previous 2 days trying to get all my Rock Band DLC.
Yes.
Nice.
Right, this man and his priorities.
1,423 songs downloaded individually through the Rock Band store.
Yeah, guess what I'm not going to do?
That's pretty fantastic, Joe. Like, I've got about that much on Rock Band 2 and 3, but I can't believe they actually allowed that many in Rock Band 4, you know?
Like, well, the thing is that Joe actually had to take a hit of about 500.
I'm still trying to guess what Pappy wants me to guess, what he's not going to do.
Download all those songs in 2 days.
Yeah.
All right, so anyhow.
Funny thing is, like, that's about half of my overall library.
Yeah.
Because a big chunk of it was Rock Band Network, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff like disc exports, Rock Band Blitz, packs that have had songs pulled, you can't download the other stuff. Fuck it. We'll do the intros first. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm back in Vegas.
Chris isn't
and I'm
here.
Happy.
We have a guest on. Nick, introduce yourself.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Nick Hagman, also known as Nario. That's my online alias.
All right. We'll get to you in a bit, but as I was saying.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you.
We figured we were gonna
talk about Rock Band on the show anyway, so might as well just do it at the top of the show.
Yeah, we are a video game podcast that can't stay on topic for more than 18 seconds.
But anyway, I was getting my hair did the other day.
Exactly.
I was actually talking with Nick Chester about some of the happity horse crap going on with like all the glitches and issues, which they fully know about. They are working hard to take care of every issue and problem that's going on with the game. But I mentioned that I couldn't play any of my Door songs because they originally came out in for like the first 2 weeks. There was a free 3-pack, and then the rest of the songs were sold in a 9-pack. And that's how I bought them. I bought the 9-pack and then got the free 3-pack. After that, those 2 packs were pulled and replaced with a 12-pack. Since those other 2 packs were pulled, I have no access to them because they're not available. And I asked that, and he was like, we're working on it. There's 1,700 other songs that you guys could pick up and play and enjoy and blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Joe, why do you keep finding the one that we can't work on right now? Come on.
Well, hey, it's the Doors. I like the Doors.
I hate the Doors.
I didn't like the Doors.
Overrated.
That was
impressive.
I kind of thought you were just impersonating a door opening slowly.
The Doors.
But then I mentioned over the course of what? It's been 6 or 7 years or something like that since the first Rock Band came out. licenses will expire with DLC. I was going through and I hit Silver Sun pickups and I realized that Panic Switch was gone. I guess the license expired and it got pulled. And I tweeted out, I want to take this time to express my extreme sadness that Panic Switch from Silver Sun pickups is no longer in Rock Band. Really wanted to play that. And Nick replied, if you previously purchased it, we will find a way to get it to you, working on it. I said, it's a pulled song. Figured those weren't coming back, like Metallica, Chili Peppers, Naked Brothers Band from Nickelodeon, which everybody wants.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Nick said the greatest thing that I could have expected. We plan.
Shut the fuck up, Joe.
No. We plan on making them available for folks who purchased them.
Wow.
So if you bought any content that has since been pulled due to licensing issues, don't know when, don't know how, but they're going to get your content to you.
Well, it sounds incredible. Like the licensing issues may have somehow been able to skip over if you've already given money over for it. They just can't sell it while the license is expired.
Yeah, and I actually, he and I traded some private messages back and forth. No nude pictures, unfortunately. Let me see where his comment is. The reason why pulled songs and packs aren't available is because there's no way right now for us to let people download stuff that isn't sold. So that means exports, delisted stuff, some other things, but we will get there. People have to be patient. Know that it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, they still gave you access to 1,500 songs.
1,700, actually. It's insane how much content there is that carried over.
So I think we can all afford to be patient on the couple hundred songs that they're still working on.
Oh, absolutely. There's just people out there who expect miracles. I mean, it's already a miracle that they got 1,700 songs ported over from a previous generation into the new one.
That's true. Hey, Joe.
What?
Is Fuel one of those bands?
I don't think Fuel's in Rock Band at all.
Well, then fuck you. I don't care.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna get the game this weekend and get back to my part of my exercise regime where I play an hour of drums on hard.
There you go. I'd say we could play together online, but unfortunately, they don't have online in the game yet.
Yeah, but
hopefully, it's coming soon.
Yeah, how's that for weird?
Seriously,
doesn't it feel like they kind of rushed it? You know, like. Concept of Rock Band not online is kind of weird.
Well,
yeah,
it's meant to be like a local party game. It's kind of sad when you're just sitting in your underwear playing yourself alone, but
well, I do that, but I don't even have Rock Band.
Yeah. God damn it.
Now that we've talked enough about Rock Band, let's talk about something everyone can enjoy.
So Rock Band came out.
I kind of want to get to the fact that our guest has decided to take the concept of beating old games that can be difficult and make it even more ridiculously difficult.
All right, I guess we'll pay attention to him. So, Nick, we handled an email from you, I want to say 2 weeks ago, something like that, which with all the other episodes we've done is about 14 episodes ago. funny thing, this is episode 130 when last week was 128 because I did that Android Assault Cactus interview, so that's technically 129.
We got to figure out a numbering sequence for all of this.
Yeah, I figure chronological.
129.5.
Plus,
we'll make a spinoff, you know, JoeCam, the interview tapes for the interview sessions.
Yeah, but then there's like two sets of numbers to remember.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And, like, I could barely count to one whatever were number thing.
So, yeah, back on topic.
So, yeah, we got an email from you.
Yes.
Pappy actually asked how this happened, and I mentioned where Dale North was commenting on Facebook that I no longer work in gaming press. Please stop sending me stuff. And I joked around.
We want to work in gaming press, so send us stuff.
We are allegedly gaming press. Allegedly, because we get like review codes and stuff now, which we'll get to later. But you sent us an email that you originally, I guess you were going to send to Dale about your accomplishments in gaming. And I want you, for those who didn't listen to the episode, like yourself, explain to us what your accomplishments are.
Okay. Well, first, before I answer that, I guess it's technically not a question. I wanted to state for the record, I did send the email that I sent you guys. I did send it to Dale North first, and he was like, sorry, I don't work for Destructed anymore. And I was like, well, I guess it shows how long I haven't checked that website. So
that was both. Honestly,
Destructoid used to load so slowly back in the day. I just stopped browsing it, to be honest with you guys. But anyways, so it turns out I'm not the only one that's been messaging him. A lot of people have been asking him to cover stuff on Destructoid. Of course, he doesn't work there anymore, so go figure. I'm just one of many that
he had like
have
a really public resignation as well, because that was
public if you follow him on Twitter.
Well, no, because it was even on Destructoid itself. It was when the whole Gamergate stuff started, and he's like, "Fuck this, I'm out."
Well, but again, like Nick said, he didn't go to the site for how long? I'm sure a lot of people are in that.
Well, to be fair, Dale did go to another site after that, and then did his own thing for a little bit more. But now he's just focused on music.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, your email.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you were asking for me to cover my accomplishments. Well, there's quite a few. I have beaten now 7 games on a dance pad. You know, Dance Dance Revolution, the arcade machines, you know, you use your feet to step on arrows. Well, yeah, I've beaten games with my feet like that. it's pretty crazy. When you really think about it, I've beaten Castlevania 1 for the NES. I've beaten Super Mario Brothers 1. I've beaten Mega Man 2 on normal difficulty.
I can't do that with a regular controller. You need to knock this shit off.
Yeah. I beat Castlevania 3, specifically the Japanese version. After some annoyance from my fan base, I finally went on and tackled Ninja Gaiden on a dance pad.
Oh, you could go fuck yourself. I can't.
So was that like, you know, a month of your life right there?
actually about 8.
God damn.
I did it for about a month, and then my camcorder died, and I seriously had to save up money just to be able to continue the darn series. So I lost money doing that thing.
That's how you're doing what you love.
Yeah. And then I finished that game. Then I had a short hiatus, and then I did Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on a dance pad, which was nuts because, you know, the final boss you had to beat without any rings, so that was tough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which I should mention for the record, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is the only game I have not emulated. It was authentic. It was legit. I did that on an Xbox 360 copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with an Xbox 360 dance pad. So, you know, before people go, oh, you know, he's cheating, he's using save states and whatever. No, I'm not. So,
hey, even if you were, that's still a lot of time and a lot of practice put into it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And just recently, the email that I sent out, I just recently did Super Mario 64 on a dance pad, all 120 stars, and then beat Bowser.
God.
Man. Yeah. Before you get any further, I do want to touch on that comment you just made about people, you know, before people accuse you of cheating or anything like that.
Yeah.
Joe told me, you know, as he usually does, about 20 minutes before the podcast, who our guest was. And I did a quick YouTube.
That was 20 minutes. I gave you time.
That's a good point. But I did YouTube, and I just typed in Guy Beats Mario with GamePad, and you were the only person who showed up. So anyone who's accusing you of cheating, my counter accusation is, well, you freaking do it. You know?
Yep.
I don't see anyone else going, oh, hey, he's just a poser. Let me show you how it's done. There's no one taking up that mantle, so they can just go suck eggs.
And I also want to point out that if people are going to complain about you using save states, if you're using a dance pad, imagine how much stepping is required to make the save state, load the save state, get back to position. That's a lot of steps on a dance pad.
Mm-hmm. Or when you consider that I'm using a soft pad where your feet can accidentally press buttons, I could be accidentally loading states if I were to do that kind of setup. Like, instead of saving, I'd be loading.
I was just going to ask what kind of pad you use. Are you saying, like, you use the little flimsy plastic ones that come with the games?
Yes.
Yes, he does. I've seen it.
Jesus.
Hey, that's right. For once, I did more research than Joe did.
I ask questions for interview purposes, Pappy.
Shh, I want to feel special.
My sense of awe and disbelief is somewhat dulled in real life because I know I'm just inquiring for the people who don't.
Joe.
And I'm trying to react along with it.
Take all the fun
I'm loving this. This is fantastic.
This is two friends who've known each other for over half their lives, having guests on to witness our constant married couple bickering.
You shut your whore mouth. Mom and Dad are fighting.
Just the silence there. Like,
I was like, he actually did shut his mouth. How about that?
He learns. The bitch learns.
Well, no, you said that, and I had to think the most recent comment I heard, I love where I work sometimes, is you shut your dick holster.
Your dick holster?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is now up there with don't look at me in that tone of voice, and you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You shut your dick holster.
I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but you should know better if you're listening to our show.
Yeah, if you're listening to our show and you're afraid of bad language, you need to pay attention a little bit better.
A little bit.
Like, for the past 15 minutes, you should have been paying attention there, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, plastic dance pad.
Yeah.
Sense of awe and disbelief, because I'm acting as if I never heard that news before. Pappy.
When I saw it, I was just like, this guy is insane.
Yeah, I actually prefer a soft pad, because the arcade type of pads, like, I've never had good luck with them. Like, I'm a light, skinny guy, so whenever I try to step on an arcade pad, I have to pretty much stomp on it for it to recognize that I'm actually pressing buttons. So that actually exhausts me much more than a flimsy soft pad. So I know it seems counterintuitive, but hey, I work with what I've got, you know?
Well, and if you're doing it for hours at a time, yeah, you want to conserve energy.
Exactly.
Do you use any means to secure it to the floor? Because I know when I've played DDR, yes, my fat ass has played DDR, people, that pad would slide around the room like a freaking cat on a freshly waxed floor.
Right. Funny you ask, because, you know, like I said, I've beaten 7 games on a dance pad, and none of them were secured to the floor by any means. Actually, I don't have this on the main Super Mario 64 defeat video, but in the long broadcast video that I also have on the Super Mario 64 playlist, you can actually see me fighting Bowser for about an hour, and the dance pad is sliding all over the place as I'm trying to fight this guy. Like I'll move it from one side of the camera, 15 seconds later, it's on the other side of the webcam. Like, I'm trying to spin Bowser with my feet, and then the pad is spinning pretty much. Like, it's nuts. So what we just did recently, because I'm now tackling GoldenEye 007 on the dance pad.
God.
I actually have it taped to a 33 by 37 inch plywood, and then got some padding in between the dance pad and the plywood as well, so I can actually do this thing and it doesn't move around once. In fact, when I previously streamed GoldenEye, the dance pad didn't move at all. It was great.
I was going to say, if you weren't so light, the entire sheet of plywood would go sliding around.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, so yeah, it's got to be even an additional challenge if you're doing a dance pad and surfing across the floor.
I'm reminded of, just for whatever reason, I'm thinking of Pikachu, Pokemon Yellow, where Pikachu's on that surfboard. Just, you said surfing, I just thought of that that mini game.
That's fine. You know, every time we talk about using a DDR pad, all I can think about is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So it's fair that someone else has an unrelated mental image.
Yes, Ninja Revolution. Yes. Oh, what a fantastic game. I wish they made it, like, for Kinect or something.
Man, I wish they would give Kinect more attention. You could tell that it's just...
Well, they tried, remember our earlier interview last month.
Yeah, just a slow, painful death for Kinect. And I think it's, like, the greatest thing for the Xbox One.
And I actually have a towel draped over mine because I'm always afraid it's watching me touch myself.
It is.
And that's why there's a towel draped over it.
I thought you liked showing off.
Only if I know the people.
Yeah, I love how that's one of the complaints people have. It's like, it could be watching me. It's like, if people in Washington really want to watch some fat guy in his underwear play Rock Band, which is me.
They're going to.
Like, let him enjoy. Like, what...
What's the same thing as, like, with Windows 10, the reason I haven't quite installed that yet is that whole, we report every keystroke back to the mainframe.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, so they know all the horrible things I've searched.
Yeah, that's, it's more just I don't want a record of emails and what websites I go to, or my logins for my bank, stuff like that.
You should
call the place Washington.
Yeah. Your privacy in the world is already gone, people. It doesn't matter. Like, everything you do is known.
Oh, no, you're right. I just don't want to exacerbate it.
Facebook, Google, they can see you.
Yeah. And people are, I don't want my Kinect to see me in my new t-shirt with my cats. Why?
It's very specific.
What the hell are you doing in your living room? What are you doing in your living room that's so horrible?
I just imagine some guy's making a drug deal in front of his Kinect and someone happens to be watching it over on Microsoft's side and calls the FBI and it's a commendation for it.
Yeah, good times.
So yeah, video games.
Vidya games. So made you decide in your life, hey, video games aren't hard enough for me. I'm going to play them with my feet.
This is a great question. I think it stems from the fact, just if you can, why not? Like, for instance, for those that have played Final Fantasy with minimum stats, like Final Fantasy 1-4 White Mages, or Metroid, no item pickups, you know, just challenges are there, you know, for those who seek them. And I guess in a way this is a tricky question because I don't really know how this works for me exactly. Like, there was just one evening where I have a friend, and it's not a very interesting story either. He just called me over going, hey, I've got a dance pad peripheral. I want you to try it out for me. So I came over to his place. I tried it out, played the first level of Castlevania with it. And, you know, I got to the boss. I beat the boss with the axe, with my feet. And I was like, well, this peripheral, it's a bit cheap. I can tell it's not made by Konami or Bemani or anything like that, but, you know, hey, got the job done. After I did that for him, I was thinking, you know, I kind of want to do this for YouTube. So I actually recorded the first level, put up on YouTube, and they got some feedback saying, hey, you should do the next level. And so I was like, okay. Sure, I'll do the next level, go from there. And really, it was just a one level thing at a time. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm going to beat Castlevania on a dance pad. Like, I just didn't get that sudden idea. It was just, I'll do this one level with this weird peripheral. It's so not a very interesting story, but look what it's become. You know, on a dance pad is now a hashtag. So,
And now I'm impressed on two levels. One, that you decided to do this for fun and put it on YouTube. And two, that you actually got positive feedback on YouTube.
Oh.
Can you imagine some YouTube snob sitting there like,
I'm sorry. I do diss a lot of the comment sections just in the internet in general. But YouTube is always the one that strikes me as the most over the top.
He took too many steps on that boss. He totally could have like made that easier for himself.
Yeah, by using a controller.
You know, Joe, what you just said there reminds me, like, I've been playing Portal a lot, and...
On a dance pad?
No.
Yet.
Not yet, no. But what it comes down to is, I've been playing it, and... Have you gotten to past the ending where you unlock those challenges and you can test like, oh, you've got to do test chamber number 13 and the least amount of steps possible? Like, have you gotten to that point before?
My experience with Portal is I watched our friend Rez play it because I was not very good at first person games at the time. And then when I tried to play Portal 2, I got about 10 minutes in and got motion sick. So I've watched people play Portal, but personally, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I beat Portal 2, but my experience with Portal was Rez finished the game for me while the rest of us watched because I was stuck at a point.
Yeah. Because Rez
he beat the game
insane.
on my game, yeah. Because I got stuck. He was like, oh, I know what to do, and I just handed him the controller. They were like, what? How many of us
were in that room? God, Pappy, give me the fucking controller.
Yeah. How many of us were in that room? Like 15 of us just watching him beat Portal.
Something like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. What a great game. Yeah. I guess I'll explain it then. Like, whenever you beat the game, you unlock these challenges to do. Like, you can do test chambers number 13 through 18 or something like that. And they've got challenges where you got to use the least amount of portals possible, the least amount of time possible, and the least amount of steps possible. So, like, they've got these insane challenges where you've got first place, second place, third place. To get first place on most of them, you got to do these test chambers in like 10 steps or less. It's nuts. And so I was thinking about your comments, like, you're like, oh, he took too many steps on that dance pad boss. Like what? Is this some kind of Portal snob? Like, like, oh, you got third place. I could do in 20 steps, you know? Like,
you're a loser.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of people who post online is that they do it from a false sense of superiority because they never have to prove themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like you said, who else is doing this, you know, this ridiculous gimmick, you know?
No, it was fun to watch, though. I gave you credit for that. And I do hope that you get, you know, more and more popular so that you can upgrade from the CRT.
Oh, that's way back in the past, actually.
Okay, that's good. That's good, then.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Ninja Gaiden and earlier. The CRT is a piece of history. It's not even where I live anymore.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, much. I was actually on vacation. I got home yesterday, and I helped my parents upgrade from a 19-inch CRT to a 55-inch Samsung flat screen. And I was just amazed that they managed to skip 20 years of technology.
And somehow that 19-inch CRT weighed more than the 55-inch.
It did, actually. It did. It was amazing. Yeah, they just – it's something about my parents. They've always been very uncaring of the technology around them, aside from, you know, what makes life easier. For them, TV was never something that was important. So I'm like, hey, you know, we're gonna get a Samsung. That's just how it's going to go because they're the best out there. And you know, expect you're going to get Bluetooth capabilities, wireless internet, and probably Netflix. And my dad's like, oh, I don't need any of that. I was like, no. I didn't say you need it. I'm saying that you've waited so long to buy a new TV. That's how they come now.
they're not really options anymore. They're just there.
Yeah, for the last 3 years, I've threatened to come home and knock over their television set just because, you know, like I bought my brother a Blu-ray player last year. And we did Christmas, or 2 years ago, we did Christmas at my parents', and I was like, cool, you know what? We got the Blu-ray player. I bought you some movies. Why don't we watch them? And then we discovered that you couldn't hook it up to their television. There weren't enough adapters in the world to get from HDMI to what they had.
There actually are. Wow. Do you know how scary it is? Someone posted a picture of their Xbox One on a frickin' CRT.
Yes, but you couldn't buy them at Radio Shack. The connectors that I would have needed would have had to have been ordered online.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that just for, you know, a Christmas.
We're talking composite.
You can't buy anything
RF
at Radio.
theirs was composite.
Okay. I was thinking less like whoa.
Oh man, if it was the RF where you have to like get a screwdriver to hook the fucking forks up to the back of the TV.
They had that connection on the CRT.
Oh my god.
They had one composite of those and one, you know, the cable screw input, and that was it.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, now they have a TV with 5 HDMI inputs and nothing. And the Blu-ray player that I forced them to buy so I could send them movies.
So they've gone from composite to no composite?
Yeah. Yeah, and the wireless speakers just blew my mother's mind. It's just like, what? How do you... Because, you know, as the technologically gifted child, I had to hook everything up, so... You know, my dad's a big audiophile from the 70s, but he's like, wireless, huh? I'm like, yep, no cables. It's like, how the hell does that even work? Wirelessly?
How do the speakers work? Are they individually powered? Do they need batteries?
Well, this one was a nice setup. It was just the bass, and then just the flat one that sits under the TV. And that was the wireless connection. It just connect. It had a cable that went to the woofer for power, and that's it.
Oh wow! So the subwoofer is wireless to wirelessly connected to the TV.
I believe so.
Wow!
I don't know, I have this habit of putting things together and forgetting about how I did it.
Yeah, I still have speakers have cords, so.
Yeah, well, I do that for a living, as I take things apart and put them together. And I always have all these screws left over. It's fantastic.
So, Pappy, if you care, the Thursday Night Football halftime report is the Colts are up over the Texans 13-10.
I have it on.
Okay. Didn't know if you did or not, because I have got to have the game on while I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, the most unimportant game ever.
No, I'm sure there's more unimportant games than Colts Texans.
Yeah, Jaguars Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I guess before I start insulting sports teams, do you sports, Nick?
No.
Okay. You know, I would feel bad if you were like, oh man, I'm a Jaguars fan.
See, I'm not into sports, but I totally respect, you know, sports fans. You know, there's a passion to it that, you know, I obviously don't have, but, you know, when I listen to those that are into sports, it's like, oh, they're really into it, you know. Just I like it.
I wish more people were like you, man. A lot of people miss it, and I always think it's funny that those same people who tend to insult it are the same people who are really passionate about something else, games or music.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it, man. More people need your point of view on that thing, because I hate, especially, you know, now with Twitter and Facebook, I have friends, I care about them deeply, and then they'll bitch about it, like, oh, please talk more about sports, and I'm like, just don't listen.
Exactly.
Don't communicate during sports comment, you know?
Plus, no sports fan could be any sadder than Chris being a Bucks fan.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I mean that's a pretty sad person.
Yeah. So now I get to ask my question that I always ask developers, but you know this is still a pretty good one for since you're very specialized with what you do on YouTube. When you're not being insane and playing a game on a dance pad, what game are you just playing for relaxation purposes?
Relaxation. Define relaxation.
When
not
you just
using your feet.
Yeah, when you just want to chill and you're like, hey, I really want to play a game right now. Well, you know, what game are you playing right now that's like, you know, really taking up your time?
Currently, My girlfriend and I, we've been playing Kingdom Hearts 2 for the PS3, the HD port of it.
Nice.
We just recently beat the game, and despite the convoluted story and the retconning of the first game, we are really enjoying it and just eating up the entire experience.
Yeah, that was the last time they had an actual sequel title make sense.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you play the prequel, Birth by Sleep, that one's really good, too. I wholly, highly recommend that one, too. And it's on the 2.5 HD remix for PS3, so you can get both 2 and Birth by Sleep in the same package. I recommend both.
Yeah, that was a game I liked watching my ex play. It was fun, but I'm not an RPG guy.
Oh, okay.
And I would just throw Goofy off a cliff if I had the option. Oh, yo. Splat.
So, oh my goodness.
What are your thoughts on Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue coming out?
For one thing, thank you for saying it the right way. And number two, I'm excited.
Was that real?
Yeah, that's a real game.
That's the full title, yes. Oh yes.
That is real, and it's coming to the PS4.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot new coming to it, but there is one portion, which is Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep, a fragmented passage, which is new content. It's only about 30 minutes long, so it's basically Kingdom Hearts Ground Zeroes, but oh my goodness, like... It's new Kingdom Hearts story. I've got to see it. Like, I'm just a huge fan.
Do they do this intentionally? Like, is it at some point that they're like, you know what? We want to have convoluted titles for our game.
At Square Enix, leave it up to them, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, they've got Final Fantasy Duodecim, which is basically Latin for 12 or 2 or something like that. Whatever.
There's just so many ridiculous Kingdom Hearts names.
Yeah. What was the one on DS? Was like 312 and a half nights or something like that?
358 over 2 days.
I think it's actually 358 over 2 days. Yeah, Tetsuya Nomura himself said it. And
son of a
people
bitch.
People like, oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's see. Kingdom Hearts RE... Chain of Memories.
358 over 2. That's just 179 days.
So you would think.
Yeah, they just, man. At least Kingdom Hearts 3 is just Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right.
There's no
finally
stupid nickname or recoded Deco Duum Super HD remix.
Or the first thing they're going to do is retcon so that only 1 and 2 happened and all the silly title ones didn't actually exist.
They could retcon out Dream Drop Distance. That would be really nice. Say it was all just a dream, funny enough.
Fun.
A dream inside a dream inside another dream.
I just honestly wish with all these 1.5, 2.5, 2.8 remix collections that are coming out, they would put some of the fucking games on the Xbox, considering Kingdom Hearts 3 will be on the Xbox One.
Yup. Like, I agree.
Let people catch up on the series.
And make money.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's always good,
It's a good 1-2 combo, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you there. They should do that.
I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, I understand coding is different. You know, you can't just port a PS4 to an Xbox One game, you know, and expect it to work seamlessly without a lot of extra coding. But at the same time, there's got to be a way to do the math and decide, okay, this is definitely worth our money. And with something as big as Kingdom Hearts, you would think that would have already been proven.
Yeah, especially considering how similar the PS4 and Xbox One really are.
Yes. Yeah, if they're doing 2.8 for PS4, they should be doing 2.8 for Xbox One as well.
Yeah. But Square, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they just really, really hate the Xbox and only do games when they have to.
I don't know. They partnered up with Xbox for Tomb Raider.
I think they also made The Last Remnant just for 360 and not even for PS3.
Possibly. I don't know. They just... Fucking Square.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're thinking anymore. It's friggin' Squaresoft.
They just have a wheel in the office. They spin it whenever they develop a new game. We're making this one for the Dreamcast.
Tiger R Zone.
Man, I've been waiting for new games for that.
I really wish that Square and Microsoft would figure something out for Final Fantasy 14 to hit the Xbox One.
Is that the MMO one or the actual
The
game
MMO.
Game? Yeah.
Because 15 will be on the Xbox One.
Right.
13 was on the 360, as well as all the other 13s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us 14. Come on. We had 11, and 11 let us play with PlayStation players on the PS2. I don't know why it's a big deal about us playing with PlayStation people now on 14.
That's like, right.
Just let 14's
gamers
play.
Well, too. It's accepted. It's a good game now. Like, they should be able to play.
Oh, I love 14. I've bought 14 three times already. I bought the original PC release, the original shitty, horrible, god-awful PC release. I picked up the collector edition on the PS3 when it came out, and I played it. And then they announced it for the PS4, so I picked up a collector edition again for the PS4 because I am a whore. And if it comes to the Xbox One, I will buy a fourth collector's edition of Final Fantasy 14 just to play it on a system that I don't hate.
You know, I would belittle you for that, but I realize I've purchased Halo 1 like three times. So,
well, the thing is, the original Final Fantasy 14 was broken and shitty, like horrible, horrible, horrible. They don't even like to acknowledge the fact that it exists anymore. When it re-released,
that's a bad sign.
No, it's serious. Like they basically dropped the entire game and remade it from scratch.
Yeah.
Like everything. It feels like the difference between Diablo 3 and Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. Like the original release was just garbage, and effectively being kind of the same game, it's just magically amazing now. And you can't really explain it. It's just right. Although it was a lot more drastic with Final Fantasy 14. So when it came to the PS3, you know, I finally wanted to play it and enjoy it on a console because I like MMOs and Final Fantasy. It's a good mix. And then when they announced it for the PS4, visually the game is such a drastic difference that I needed to get it for the PS4. And when my PS4 would break and I had to go back to playing it on the PS3, it hurt. Like, it's such a difference, and it looks so bad on the PS3, and it runs so poorly on the PS3 compared to the PS4.
Wow.
And it's still better than the original PC game. So, Final Fantasy 14 on a dance pad.
How about that? When is that happening?
I don't know. Let us know.
Oh, my God.
It's not happening. Sorry.
That is the right answer.
So you said GoldenEye's your next thing. What's after GoldenEye?
Contra for the NES.
Oh, nice. Man. I'd say that's a Death Wish game, but you already beat Ninja Gaiden, so.
I personally still think the first Contra is super easy because I grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched my mom beat it with 3 lives.
That's fantastic.
That's no lie either. I watched my mom beat the original Contra with 3 lives. She messed up putting the code in, and she was like, "I'll just play," and she beat the game with 3 lives.
I love my mom, but I had to teach her how to use the Wii remote to play Cow Racing.
My mom used to be like good at games. She was the first person I ever saw beat Mario 2. She got to like level 23 in Tetris on the NES.
My gosh.
Which is insane considering how tough the original Tetris can be.
So is that where you get your Tetris talent from?
Probably. I could take her. Fuck that. It's like, even when she got a Wii a couple years ago, like, I gifted her the new Dr. Mario game that came out. She couldn't stop playing. She would spend literally days after she divorced Tony and she was in between work. She would spend like an entire day playing Dr. Mario.
That is cool.
I would go into her play history and it'd be like, Dr. Mario, 8 hours, 49 minutes. I'm like, Mom, are you really playing this for 9 hours? She's like, well, I would like do some stuff around the house and just leave the game running. I'm like, so you played for 9 hours?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, my mom used to be pretty baller at games.
That's pretty tight. You know, just, gosh, I remember when my parents, they used to play games a lot. It's funny, you know, that they were the ones that got me started playing games. Like, when I was 4 years old, they got the Nintendo for themselves. You know, Super Mario Brothers came with it. Same with Duck Hunt. And my parents would play that all the time. Well, of course, I would eventually overtake them and start playing games more than them, but
you would usurp them.
Exactly. I carry the torch, so to speak. Took it from them.
Oh, my dad was a big he called like a bar gamer back in the day. You know, he'd go to the bar, get a couple of beers, and play Asteroids or you know, whatever the arcade game was at the time in the late 70s. And he was really good at that. Like, you know, when we had the Commodore, and then we got our first PC, he'd play like Galaga and stuff like that. But he was never interested in anything after the 2-bit generation. We got Game Boys as kids because the idea of a TV console, they correctly assumed that if we had a TV console, my brother and I would never go outside again. So we got Game Boys for road trips and stuff like that. But otherwise, anytime I wanted to play in front of a TV, I had to go to someone else's house.
Like mine.
Like yours. Yeah, I lived in your basement as much as you did back in high school.
Especially once you started driving. It's like every day after school, I'd be downstairs watching TV. I'd just hear the door open, footsteps coming downstairs. I'm like, ah, Pappy's here.
Well, I mean, it's not like I was going to go home and do homework.
Yeah. Fuck homework.
Yeah.
You hear that, kids? Fuck homework.
Yeah, not when there's some Mario Kart to be had.
School's not worth it. Just play video games. You'll get to where I am in life.
Yeah, you can be cool like us. Go to school, please.
So I guess we covered everything there really is to cover about gaming on a DDR pad. I'm not sure. Do you want to hang out for the rest of the show while we cover news and what we're playing and fun crap like that?
Sure. I mean, I've got to get some sleep for work tomorrow, but I could be on for another 20 minutes.
Sleep is for the weak.
Hey, when you got to go, just tell us you got to go because, okay. I mean, we're probably 40 minutes away from closing out the show if we hit our average.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll stop for another 20 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah, when you got to go, you got to go. So we'll start with you then. What are you playing right now aside from Kingdom Hearts 14.2 and a third?
And a stick of butter. I've also been playing Dragon Quest II for the Game Boy.
On a dance pad?
No.
On the Game Boy. He's holding the Game Boy and then dancing the controls.
He's stepping on the Game Boy.
That'd be hard.
Instead of a dance pad, he's just using two toes on the Game Boy.
And magnifying glasses, see it from afar. Telescope.
Binoculars are just looking down. Attack.
It's actually my first time playing Dragon Quest II. Like, I beat the first one a couple of years ago, and I just kind of dropped the second one in the middle of nowhere, and I was like, you know what, I want to get around to this series sometimes. I've heard about great things from Dragon Quest 8 and 9, but I want to play them in order. So I went back to Dragon Quest 2, and I'm going from there, and oh my goodness. Sorry for anyone listening and not haven't played it, but oh my gosh, you get a world map, and oh my gosh, it's a lot bigger than the first one. That's all I've got to say. So, oh my goodness. This world map, are you kidding me? Oh, it's my mind is blown. I was expecting like a 15-hour RPG. Now I feel like I've got a 30-hour RPG in front of me. Like, wow, it's so much better than I thought it'd be. That's what she said.
Especially you consider Game Boy. Wah, wah. You
know? For Chris, that's the weekly want want. It's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. That's what she said.
Did I fall into a trap?
No. We even though our third host can't be here, he's here in spirit.
Yeah.
Years
and years ago when the show first started, he proposed an idea of having a weekly want want idea of just like the groan of the week. Yeah. Or like stupid news of the week or the fail of the week, as the kids would say these days.
Those crazy kids.
So I think it's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. That's what she said. Is very fitting of the weekly womp womp.
Fitting.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Fitting.
She usually just said, "How did you get in here? I thought I locked the door."
Well, I have the restraining order.
But I live here.
This got creepy. Holy shit. So besides Dragon Quest II, what else?
Not much else, really. Like, that's about it. Like, when I'm at home, Kingdom Hearts 2, when I'm on stream, GoldenEye, when I'm not doing neither of those, Dragon Quest 2, that's about it.
Nice. It's hey, good to see someone who is like, I'm only going to get involved with, like, two or three games. Instead of, Joe, what are you playing? It's like, let me pull out this list.
Yeah, just the list of games you wanted to cover in today's news took me like 20 fucking minutes of Googling and watching videos and stuff.
Well, we are lucky enough to have awesome indie developers out there who are interested in having us or me take...
Yeah, mostly you. You need to start your emails with... My partners and I would like to try your game.
Dude, when I do requests, I always try asking for three codes. Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't.
That's fair. And one, I know with Chris being so busy right now, the odds of him being able to use all of those codes would be non-existent.
Yeah, and he can't even be on the show to really talk about them. I did say I do have an extra of the one game plus the one for next week, so it's up to you if you want.
Well, the one was the bullet hell, and we all know me in coordination.
Yeah, I kind of figured you wouldn't be too interested in that, but I'll lead off with it.
All right, yeah. First I watched game. The video of it, and I just looked at it like, this looks like a lot of fun for people who aren't me.
So, me. the first game is Tesla Punk. It's by Klutz Games. It is out now for $10. The game was made by brothers Thorsten and Timo Fleisch, and I hope I didn't screw their names up. It is, I believe it is a mobile port. It is a bullet hell top-down shooter. It has a cool little mechanic where enemies that you shoot and kill, they drop these little blue charging cubes. I'm sure they have an official name, but I'm old and forgetful. And when you pick them up, you have three gauges that you could fill up, and it's a special ability. Because it's a bullet hell, there's times where your screen can be covered in bullets. You use this ability to spend a gauge, and it just destroys all of the bullets, and however many bullets there are, it increases your score multiplier.
Whoa.
So the goal of the game is basically to get surrounded by bullets, use the ability, get a massive score multiplier, which does decrease over time. It does go down like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It goes down fairly quickly. So the goal is to kill things, fill your gauges, and use it as much as you can at the best times possible to boost that score multiplier as high as it can go.
Hey, and I've seen some of those multipliers just in the video were in the thousands.
Yeah, and there's achievements to get it stupidly. Like, I think the one achievement's like a 5,000 multiplier. I almost got to 1,000, and I died before I was able to use the charge, which when you die, it cuts a big chunk of your multiplier out, which sucks. The game is, if you're a fan of bullet hells, it is a lot of fun. It has technically three game modes, but it's more like two. There's an arcade mode where you go through six different stages. I've made it up to five so far. It baits you into beating the arcade mode because once you play it once, it gives you a 1 point achievement of you started the game.
So now you have to beat it to get the even number.
And once you beat the sixth stage boss, it gives you a 64 point achievement to even it out. I like when games do that. People hate odd numbered achievements, but I fucking love when a game is like, here's a point for starting it. Now beat the game. I know Double Dragon Neon did that, and it's good encouragement to beat the game.
Threes, you know, you would go insane trying to keep yourself at even numbers.
Threes is just evil. So is the game Q. That game is evil with its achievements. But they have the arcade mode. There's a survival mode, which seems, I guess the best thing you could compare it to is an endless runner on a mobile game where the ship, it goes along at its own pace. Rows of enemy ships will come at you and you have to go left and right shooting either all the ships or the weakest ship to make sure you get through the formation. There's every ship you destroy can drop coins that you can spend to either make your gun stronger, make your hitbox smaller, because it starts off fairly large. Bullet hell games, most of the ships in bullet hell games have like a pin sized hitbox so that bullets will pass through your ship unless it touches this tiny little pinpoint in which you blow up, because bullet hell games are for insane people like me. In the survival mode, the hitbox starts off basically as round as the size of the ship. So it's really large, and you can buy the upgrades to make the hitbox smaller. There's three different ships, one with a shield, a standard ship, which you start out with, and a magnet ship, which I obviously saved up for right away because it pulls in all the power-ups and coins from a distance to make things easier.
Yeah. That's my idea right there. I like it.
This is interesting. It's like a bullet hell made, modernized, streamlined. It's not, you're just copy paste bullet hell.
Yeah. The arcade mode is your standard bullet hell with its own unique take on destroying the bullets and scoring. And then the survival is fucking addictive as hell. It was okay. One more run. Okay. One more run. Oh, I could afford this weapon upgrade. I'll go one more run. Oh, now I could afford a smaller hitbox. One more run. And of course, they give you, you could buy like one-time use power-ups to get a head start or a shield or everything else. It's just a lot of fun. People have been divisive over it in streams that I've been watching, but I think the game is a lot of fun. The third mode in the game is a mission mode, which basically ties in with the arcade mode of like absorb this many bullets or collect this many power orbs or complete this stage without dying. And you unlock, I'm trying to think of, you basically get pieces to put into a puzzle to create different inventions, I guess. It's heavily based on the name Tesla Punk, in like Nikola Tesla era steampunk design. And when you complete objectives, they have a screen of different inventions that you get pieces for, and once you complete one of them, you get an achievement. So it's basically just extra missions.
Okay.
I explained that horribly.
Yeah, I mean, I got the gist of it.
Yeah. The game is out right now for $10. I know it's on Xbox One. Not sure if it's on anything else. Don't really care because we're an Xbox show. But the game is a lot of fun. I give it a hearty thumbs up, especially if you're a bullet hell fan. The soundtrack is pretty awesome. It's made by the one brother, Thorsten Fleisch, and we are going to be playing music from the game at the end of the show. The soundtrack is batshit insane. It starts off sounding one way. It changes midway through the song. It changes again another distance. Like, none of the songs sound the same at the beginning as they do at the end, and I love it.
That's tight.
Yeah, because they're for each of the stages, and that way, instead of just a song looping, it's changing and evolving through the stage to keep
songs it evolving.
It's pretty awesome.
Getting harder.
Pappy, do you have any opinion? I know, I'm sure you looked it up.
Yeah, no, I watched the trailer for it. I mean, if it's your thing, it looks cool. And again, like you said, it takes what Nick alluded to is that Bullet Hells can be very copy-paste, and this one looks like they took a fresh look at it and went, hey, we don't have to be the same damn thing with a different palette. We can actually be a little bit of a twist on the genre. So
we can be unique.
We can be special.
Yay. And even better is we have codes for the game to give away.
Yay.
So all you got to do, people, you know the drill. We talk about it every week, and you fuckers still don't listen. Send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Talk to us. Get involved. We'll give you free games. And you The SML Podcast. And you can get a free copy of Tesla Punk. That easy.
It's
simple. That easy. Right, Nick? It's that easy.
Yeah.
You emailed us.
Just do it, guys.
Emailed us. It's that easy.
Yeah. I got here. You guys can get a free game.
Yeah. Free games.
All right.
As long as you have an Xbox One, basically.
Well, you got a lot of PS4 codes, too.
Well, we have a couple. And some Steam codes.
Yeah.
So we could share
the love.
As long
as you're not playing solely on Apple iOS, we got something for you.
If you're only an R-Zone fan, we can't help you.
Sorry to both of you out there.
Yeah. If you're playing games solely with your feet, we probably can't help you either.
Oh.
Although, I don't know, Tesla Punk might be pretty fun to play on a dance pad.
Hmm.
18 seconds at a time.
A bullet hell on a dance pad.
I've been recommended Ikaruga on a dance pad, and
GameCube does have dance pads.
Yep. I've got one for Steam too. Yeah,
you can do it. There's after Contra Ikaruga on a dance pad.
Oh gosh, I've had that for a while now, and I've never even played it, but I've seen videos. It looks tough.
Next game we have to discuss, because we have a couple of them. The game is called 3/4 Home Extended Edition. It is.
Yeah, I started watching that playthrough, but I realized that I had to watch the whole hour playthrough since it's special.
Yeah, it is a visual short story. It is not so much a game as it is a conversation. It might not sound exciting. It's not really meant to be exciting. It's good. I don't know how to really describe the game without giving it away.
I can do it because I read the press release.
Okay, go ahead.
It's just a visual short story. It is a woman finishing up her drive home, last 20 miles, on the phone with her mother. And all you're doing in the game is speeding up and slowing down the car to, you know, avoid going crazy in the rain. And talking to your mom, and the choices you make in replies change the story.
It changes the conversation. It doesn't necessarily change the story.
Sorry. Yeah, it changes the conversation. And it looked interesting, but again, yeah, this is a game you if you're committed to playing it or watching it played, you want to just do the whole thing.
And we should probably clarify, it's not really a game. It is a short story that you just kind of interact with based on the conversation. There's no score. There's no like final boss objectives or anything. It is a very engaging short story. There is an epilogue as well, which my guess is it's a prologue more than an epilogue.
And I guess they're already coming out with a special edition that's going to have like four more things added onto it.
Which I would definitely be interested in picking up.
I'd say this is one of those where people who argue that games aren't art are wrong. You know, this is very much an artistic take on what you can do with a console.
Yeah, and it, I am pretty excited to see it hit console. It is very, very affordable at only $5. From what I can see, it was made by one guy, Zach Sanford of Bracket Games. I also want to make a quick mention to, I want to say Digerati Distribution or Digerati. I'm probably ruining it. And Nick Hafanero? I'm terrible at pronouncing.
He's only one half of an arrow.
Pronunciating the name where the thirds.
Exactly.
So Nick Hafanero, Digerati Distribution, and Bracket Games. They're the ones who put it out. Again, only $5. It is out officially now because it's Friday when you're hearing this. When I first started playing it, I wasn't too sure what to expect. I'm playing it, going through it. I'm laughing. It's funny and engaging. And then it gets kind of serious. And by the time I was done playing it, I'm just sitting there like, is this really done? Like now this is done? And it's some heavy shit. That is how I described it on Twitter. They retweeted it. They enjoyed my thoughts. It is some heavy shit to experience overall. I absolutely recommend that if you're looking to just sit back for an hour or two and read and just kind of escape for a bit, pick it up. You won't regret it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it is only on Steam right now. I'm trying to find where they mention what the extended edition. The extended edition is out at $7 instead of $5, but it does give you a bunch more stuff.
Well, this is the extended edition. It has an epilogue as well as you can go through your brother's different short stories that he's written.
Yeah, that's it.
You can look through a photo project that you did. You can listen to all the songs on the stereo. Like I said, in my thoughts is that the epilogue is more a prologue to the main game, but that's just my thoughts on it. It's very, very open to interpretation, and even replaying it, I replayed it after I played through. I went through again, just changing my different answers and my attitude and everything else, and it still felt like a fresh thing. It doesn't seem like something you're going to be able to play many times. Like once or twice is probably good, but again, it is only $5 on the Xbox One.
Okay, well, see, now I want to find out what the hell the deluxe version for $2 more gives you.
It might just be the Steam pricing.
No, they're both Steam. You're right. It's the extended edition is $5. The extended edition deluxe version is $7.
Maybe it gives you a downloadable soundtrack or something.
Maybe
art book or something. Maybe.
Digital art book, maybe.
Bumper sticker. A cool, hey, you guys win. 235-page art and commentary book, as well as a DRM-free copy of the soundtrack.
Nice.
For $2 more.
So there you go. If you would prefer on Steam, you have that route to go as well.
Nice.
But I played it on Xbox One. And Achievement Hunters, you are in luck. It is a fairly easy 1,000 out of 1,000 game. You will have to play it twice. It's okay because it's worth it. The epilogue might have to be played a handful of times depending on your answers and what you do. I don't want to spoil anything. Just check it out. Definitely check it out. Unless you hate enjoying things.
Yeah. Unless you hate the things that are different. Oh, God, no, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to get going. Got to commute tomorrow.
Totally understand. I want to thank you for joining us. It's been
fun
chatting with you, and we will be looking forward to your GoldenEye dance pad routine.
Yeah, I will overlook just how those graphics have not aged, because I will be too impressed by the fact that you're playing a game with a dance pad.
And then Contra.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Paffy. Yes, yes.
And then Ikaruga.
And then Ikaruga.
Yes.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out, not just to you guys, but to everyone else listening as well. I will be streaming again next week doing GoldenEye. I've already beaten the first 6 levels on GoldenEye, the first 5 on 00 Agent.
Jesus.
Yeah, what's your channel again?
My channel is twitch.tv/DJNario.
And that's Mario, but with an N.
Yes, Nick plus Mario. That's right.
Do you have YouTube you want to toss out there? Twitter? Anything else? Website?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Facebook. That's also facebook.com/DJNario. I'm also on YouTube under DJ17Nario, but you can find me just by typing in Nick Hagman, which is my name, of course.
Or you know, guy plays game on dance pad.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
That's your name, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've also done Castlevania and Minecraft as well, so that works too. And that's my most viewed video ever.
Wow.
Yeah, it took 140 hours to make. I've beaten 6 levels in GoldenEye so far. The last one has been Silo. I tried 00 Agent for about 2 hours, couldn't even get past the halfway point. Then bumped down to Secret Agent. It was still very hard. It took me 3 hours on Secret Agent alone just to be able to beat that stupid level. So next time I stream, I'm going to be at the whatever that boat level is where you got to save the hostages.
Oh, good luck.
Thanks.
Much good luck to you, especially, God, it's 00 agent mode. God, you're insane, yeah. Nick. You are insane. And we appreciate
you.
That on SML. We embrace the insanity of others.
Yes. So, embrace the insanity.
So thank you again for joining us, and Godspeed to you on your dance pad adventures.
Thank you all. Joe, Pappy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
Anytime, man.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
Appropriate silence.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right. Yeah, I can't even play DDR on a dance pad.
Me neither. I'm freaking... Well, I am fat, so I have done it. I jiggle around, but it's fun.
Jiggle, jiggle, wiggle, wiggle. All right, so what's the next game that you've been playing, Joe?
Two more games
to talk about.
There's
only 17 more.
Two more. The next one is called Castles. It is by Woot Games and Badland Indie.
Yeah, I saw the tweet about it being a lot harder than you thought it was going to be.
Look it up. It is out officially now on Steam. It releases Friday. Today's Thursday. I don't know what the price is. I don't have a firm price. I tried asking, but I didn't hear back as of now. But it is a kind of match 3 puzzler, but in a different way. You're on top of a castle, basically, and different cubes are going to drop down onto a grid. And instead of like using a cursor to move things around, you control a little, a gnome or something walking around the top of the castle where you have to push the cubes to make matches.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm watching it.
There's different kinds of cubes. Like there's concrete ones, there's wooden ones. Later in the game, you find like water ones. And each of them, besides being an element, also has an icon on the top of like a hammer, a pickaxe, an anvil, and you can match them either by icon or by element. And, you know, when you match 3, they disappear, you get a point. If you match 4, you get 2 points. If you match 5, you get 3 points. And you have to collect certain elements to progress in level. Like you might need to get 2 brick elements and then 3 pickaxes.
Yeah.
So you either need to match 3 bricks in a row or 3 pickaxes in a row. If it's a mix of icons, it only counts as the element. And if it's a mix of elements, it only counts as the icon.
Yeah, the only one I've got popping up here is Castles on Steam Greenlit, from, you know, Steam Greenlight. And that's it. Like, they got all their information, they got the trailers, but no pricing. And it says it releases in September 2015, so...
Well, it releases tomorrow. It's probably just a little bit behind. I know it was also supposed to come out on consoles. Unfortunately, those got delayed into next year.
Yeah, no, it's always just a bummer that you, I mean, usually Steam lets you pre-order stuff, but there's no buttons here. You're going to have to wait for the release date for the pricing. But if you're into challenging puzzles, this looks like it's definitely up your alley.
I'm going to toss out an assumption that's going to be like $10 or something.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a tough puzzler, this is definitely it. Like I said, it's cutesy. The visuals are gorgeous. It's all like cardboard or construction paper cutout style visuals. And it's beautiful. It's bright, vivid, colorful, gorgeous. And you start playing the game and the blocks are dropping down. You're moving them around. And I got to, I want to say level like 28, 29, something like that. And shit is just coming down at a way too quick a pace for me, only playing it as limited time as I have. And you just get overwhelmed really fast.
They do have, looks like they do have multiplayer.
Yeah, it does have two player. I haven't obviously tried it because I'm home alone, and I really don't think that's a game Chris would be too interested in anyway.
Yeah, I do want to point out for our listeners, the game is called Castles, not to be confused with Castle, Castle Story, Castle Storm, Warriors and Castles, or
Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers.
Yeah, it is Castles plural, only Castles. Again, is by Woot Games, and it is published by Badland Indie, the indie branch of Badland Games. It's a blast. It is tough. It is, you're going to think you're going to walk into an easy experience, and it will be at first.
Here's your tutorial now. Fuck you.
Well, like the first 10 levels or so, it's pretty easy. There's actually a boss battle at the end of every 10 levels. The first one was against moles, where you would have to, like, they would pop up and they would leave piles of dirt that you could match up the piles of dirt and eliminate them. But you would have to pick up power-ups from around the side of the castle, of like hammers to destroy blocks, or they have TNT barrels where you could blow up a couple things. And you have to beat down the moles with the hammer to make them go away, and there were like I think four of them you had to eventually take out, and you had to manage the blocks as well as the piles of dirt while waiting for those hammers to pop up, because if the board fills up, it's game over.
So it was a lot of time management.
It's definitely, you have to make sure that you're matching things, because they could pop up in the middle and they could be surrounded by blocks and you can't get to them.
Dang.
It's fast paced. Again, it looks like it's going to be so much more slow paced than it can really get to. The second boss, I think I failed like five or six times before I finally beat it, it was like a helicopter boss that would drop every now and then. He would just drop a bunch of blocks as well as fireworks onto the map at once. And you obviously had to match three of the fireworks to shoot up and hit the guy, but just to have a big influx of blocks drop at once can fuck up all of your plans.
Yeah, no, I believe that.
And because it's a helicopter, they create a lot of wind, so he could go to one side and blow all your blocks in one direction. So if you have things set up, it's
you just fuckered that up, huh?
It's a lot of time. I'm bummed. I'm super bummed that the console versions got delayed, because it's supposed to hit PS4, Xbox One, and Wii U. It's going to happen early 2016. Don't have a date, but hopefully we'll be able to get in touch with them then and give it a go on console as well. I know that there's also like a survival mode in there. I didn't get to try that yet. I would just assume like last as long as you can. I couldn't really understand the story. There was no text to it, just cutscenes. So I might be missing out on something there. They're fun to watch. I mean, the visuals are gorgeous. I love the style. The game's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend that one.
All right. So what about the last one that you played this week?
Final game is Kaiju Panic by Mechabit Games, which releases again on Friday. So officially now. It is out now.
Yeah, that one actually looked like fun. A little tough, but a nice combination of as well as boobity blop.
Real-time strategy and tower defense.
Thank you. Those were exactly what I was going for.
If you're familiar with Kaiju Big Battle, it's basically giant Japanese monsters fighting. And
these are a lot cuter than the Kaiju in Pacific Rim, though.
Or Kaiju Big Battle Wrestling. You don't know what Kaiju Big Battle is?
Nope.
Wow, it's like pro wrestling with people in kaiju suits in a like town wrestling and
now
destroying
I'm
buildings.
I don't know what that is because that sounds like fun as hell.
Yeah, you should look it up. Basically, the story is an asteroid or a meteor hits Earth, and it brings monsters with it. And
those
your job is to protect the towns and the people by tower defense methods. They give you a map. There's no paths on it like a normal tower defense game where you would have to like set up turrets and everything on that path. It's just an open map. And
so you got to figure out where those turrets would be most useful.
You'll see icons show up warning where the monsters are going to come from. But again, they don't have a direct path that they're going to follow. They could basically do whatever. They could catch you off guard and do whatever. You have to set up a machine to mine the asteroid or the meteor to pick up fragments. That's basically your currency. And you spend that to build turrets, to build mines, traps, whatever else. And then there's also you have to rescue the people on the map as well. And you can use those people that you rescue to put into the turrets to make them more powerful.
I've saved you, woman and child. Now get in my turret and fire at the enemy.
Well, it's basically you're uniting the people to attack the monsters. And
it makes sense from a gameplay point of view. It's just fun. I find it amusing to think about, you know, putting a mother with a newborn child in a turret to shoot down kaiju.
It's crazier when you think that you're putting a dog and a cat in a turret to shoot monsters.
That's even better.
Yeah.
A dog and a cat? What if they turn on each other?
it's pretty neat because some of the people, they won't follow you unless you meet a requirement. Like on the second stage of the game, there's a lady who won't join you unless you find her dog first.
So you have to do fucking side quest missions.
Basically, you have to explore the map to find everybody, and sometimes you need to get some people before others.
Yeah, while fighting off and fleeing from kaiju.
Yeah, and like all tower defense games, it ramps up in difficulty fairly quickly. You have to run between different points, managing different monster spawn areas, making sure that you put enough people in one of the turrets or the machine gun cannons or whatever else to take care of the enemies, but that you still have enough people if you need to set up more turrets.
Jeez.
There's a lot of quick management, quick thinking. Once you destroy enemies, they can drop little research bottles that you can use to buy upgrades to the weapons or special abilities like, There's one ability where you spend 250 resource points and you start each level with more resources than normal. Or there's one where when you're walking around, you'll suck in those little meteorite crystals, your currency, from a distance, and the one ability sucks them in from further away.
Oh, with your backpack vacuum.
Yes. One of the big ones is, I obviously didn't get this one yet, but you can call in orbital strikes to help you.
Awesome. And the game does look fun from a cute cartoony point of view.
Oh, the again, with the visuals, I love games that will embrace beautiful colors, bright, vibrant. It's a fun art style. Everything's like cutesy hand-drawn. Even the monsters are cutesy hand-drawn. It
like
looks ridiculous.
Red balls.
It looks absolutely ridiculous. It is a lot of fun. Giving this one another thumbs up. As you can tell, our show likes to focus on good stuff.
Well, yeah, because what have you been playing? Oh, yeah, I played this game and it sucked and I hated it. So I
game
played it for three more hours.
Shit. I was talking with a guy. The game that they released is called Yesai Ninja, and it released to a fairly heavy critical drubbing. Although when I watched a stream of it, I was like, this looks like it could be kind of fun. They're patching it and they're updating it and they're re-releasing it in a couple of weeks now, and we're going to get some hands-on time with it. And I'm explaining to him that with our show, I want to try focusing on the good in games. Too many people are too negative, and I've even said this in some of the developer interviews, gamers are assholes.
Well, yeah, and even when we do talk about a game that we didn't like or that was disappointing, we just say that and then we move on. We don't bitch about it.
Or we try to focus on the good of what we saw in the game. Like, I didn't really enjoy this game, but this was good about it. This was good about it. It has a lot of potential.
Or even I can see these kind of game fans enjoying the game.
Yeah, like I will fully agree not everybody's going to like Tesla Punk, especially if you're not a Bullet Hell fan. The art style is weird.
I took one look at it and I'm like, it looks pretty. It looks challenging, and it looks like something I would not play unless I was being paid to do so.
Yeah, so
but that doesn't mean it's a bad game.
You wouldn't like it, but
it doesn't mean it's bad. It means that games have variety.
Yeah, like I'll fully admit, there's going to be people out there who spend $5 on Three Fourths Home and they regret it because they're expecting a game instead of just basically a story.
Well, with that one, I'm going to blame them for not doing the research
or listening to us.
It took me 3 minutes online to figure out exactly what kind of game it was. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I tried watching the trailer for it, and it really is something that you can't fully explain and get the point across. You need to experience it yourself.
Yeah. Well, even in this day and age, you wait 1 week and someone's already got a Let's Play up.
Yeah.
And you just check that out for a little bit and see if this looks like something that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Done.
Like, when I look into games that are coming out to see if I want to contact the company to get it involved in our show, I try to not go after things that I wouldn't want to enjoy myself. That way, when you hear us praise games on the show, it's because we're legitimately excited to try these games.
And for any of you who think, well, that's very selfish of Joe, blah, 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 what about the other guys on his show? Joe has the broadest tastes and the most gaming experience, so he's going to play 50 games, and there's going to be one or two that I would want to play. So it's not like he's skipping over mine or Chris's preferences.
Like, I tried getting Blood Bowl 2, and I figured if we could get that, it would be for Chris. If we got multiples, it would be for Chris and you. Like,
yeah,
I would go last on something like that.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for you to get me a pre-copy of Fallout 4 so I can beat the game this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Because if I got Fallout 4, it would definitely go to someone else first,
yeah,
other
totally.
Than me.
I'm a bigger fan than you.
No, you could go fuck yourself.
I'd say the only thing that you would give to me that we share tastes on is you. I think you'd let me do the next Dragon Age first.
No.
No? Okay. Battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. A game that I get to play first.
I'll be fully honest. If I'm doing the legwork to get these games, I get first dibs.
Well, I don't blame you. you just owe me $100 worth of games.
Yeah, sure.
Or for the microphones.
But no, I intentionally don't look for games that I don't think any of us would enjoy.
Yeah, because that would make us the Itching Betty podcast.
Yeah, we would just ask for crap and shit all over it, and I don't want to do that. I want to have a more positive show.
Oh, and also to point out, if you do that, you stop getting free shit really fast. Unless you're like some kind of huge established beast in the video game world, you can't afford to.
Yeah,
hey,
I'd
love to review your game. It fucking sucks.
And that's honestly what I prefer about doing this podcast over writing a review, because we don't have to assign a number. On this show, we talk about what we like about it. We can explain what we may not like about it. But overall, we're still just giving honest impressions that can't be misread.
Yeah, and we don't have to assign games to people. We just wait for you to play them.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you've got the time to do it right now.
Yes, I do, because I have no life.
We've gone over what I'm doing for work right now. I mean, my game time is limited, so I'm spending it with my true love, being a Kunari.
Oh yeah, one detail about Kaiju Panic, I do not have a firm price on it. I tried doing some digging. I think it's going to be $20. If it is $20, I hope there's some kind of launch discount with it. Honestly, I think that if it is $20, again, if, I don't know for sure, if it's $20, I think it's a bit high for what you're getting. It seems like there's only six stages in the game, or six cities in the game, with like five or six stages in each one. It seems like it's going to be a fairly short experience for the price. I think 15 would be a lot more reasonable than 20.
But is this coming out on Steam?
Yes.
It'll be on a Steam sale eventually, so just, you know, put it on your wish list.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about paying, if you're worried about getting your dollar's worth, then, you know, sometime in the next 12 months it'll probably go on sale.
Or if you think it looks like something that you'd want to drop $20 on, go for it.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about Steam, is it will always be cheaper if you're patient.
True. Unless you want to play it on Xbox One.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I played a game.
What'd you play?
Guess what game I bought the moment I got home?
Rock Band 4.
No.
Rock Band 4?
All right, guess what non-Rock Band game I bought the moment I got home?
Rock Band 4.
Okay, yeah, so it was Plague Incorporated. I only had one day off between my vacation and going to work, and so I caught up on a lot of anime yesterday, like all the new season episodes and stuff, and then I just got Plague Incorporated because I played it at your place. And
if you listened last week, you know that Pappy was actually in town.
Yeah, and I was local. Yeah, I played a bunch of games, and that was just the one that I really enjoyed, the style of it, trying to figure out what works, how to kill off humanity, and I unlocked all the way down to I unlocked almost down to the necrovirus, the one before that. So I got about halfway.
You unlocked a bunch of stuff.
And then my game crashed.
Oh.
It deleted all my progress. So I started over and I unlocked everything last night.
Nice.
I beat everything but the bioengineered virus yesterday on normal. That one I only beat on casual. So I'm working. That one's tough because it becomes deadly over time. So you get discovered very quickly. And I beat it on casual on the first try, but I've done three or four normal tries. It's a fun game. The Necrovirus is definitely my favorite one because it's a two-stage. You actually have to kill off humanity and then make sure that the zombies that the virus raises are still enough to kill off, because you get discovered pretty quickly on that one. So you have to make sure you kill enough people in case they find a cure, so that, you know, the zombies overwhelm humanity.
That's
the one where if they do find a cure, you can still win.
Yeah. Because the zombies will get the murder.
But my favorite is still the worm that where you can make them fly to other countries to infect them. I'm working that one on a higher difficulty right now. I came so close. I destroyed like 90% or not destroyed, but I infected like 90-95% of humanity, and then they got a cure out. And I was like, God damn it.
Oh, what difficulty?
The third highest.
Brutal?
Out of four. Yeah, brutal. I came close. I started it in America, and then I fucked up because I didn't give it the drug resistance. So I sat there for 2 years game time and only infected 23 people.
I beat the Nurax worm on normal, 0% cure.
Nice. Yeah, I did that on normal with the fungus, believe it or not. And maybe the Nurax. No, the prion, I believe.
Because I kind of looked into things and how they have the infectivity, severity, and fatality.
You got to keep severity down to nothing as long
yes,
as possible.
Because I remember you were playing, you're like, oh no, we need to have the severity up so it spreads. But that's what gets it noticed.
Yeah, no, you're right. The severity is where if you're, you know, 90% infected or more, it doesn't matter at all. So yeah, I figured it out on my own, all by myself, after playing the game for five fucking hours between your place and mine. That severity is the punishing one. That's the one you never want to get up if you can help it. Yeah, you want infectivity and then, you know, lethality.
And I actually beat the Nurax worm in two different ways. One where I killed everybody in the world.
And one where you enslaved humanity?
Yes.
That's my favorite, too. And you got the achievement for it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, oh, of course.
I unlocked more achievements last night than I have in any game.
And because it was Plague Inc., you got like 13 points for it all.
Yeah, because you get an achievement for beating it in every difficulty or every normal and above. I don't remember if you get a casual achievement.
No. I don't think you do. But yeah, that game, it has, what, 100 different achievements? Something like that. So there's a ridiculous amount of achievements, but they're all pretty low value.
Yeah, but those are the ones that are, if you get into the game, those are the ones that are worth it. Because if you can beat it in hyper-brutal mode, then you deserve an achievement for it.
Yeah, I love that game. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I have tried like hell to get the dude from Plague Inc. on the show. I don't even care about review codes. I just want to talk to the guy and like...
Well, that game's been... What's funny is that game's been around for a very long time in mobile. I think I remember trying it like 2 or 3 years ago on just like a web-based browser game or something like that. I know it's had a very long life. It in itself has been evolving over time.
And a lot of people are like, oh, well, why would I want to pay $15 for it when I could get it for free on mobile? It's because all the DLC scenarios and viruses and everything else that they released for pay on mobile is included in the $15 version.
Plus, they're working on future DLC that it might be free.
I'm pretty sure anything coming out for the Xbox One version is supposed to be free.
And that's great.
That could always change.
Yeah, and there's multiple game modes, too. So, there's... And you think, oh, well, whatever, I just figured out the trick. Well, guess what? The trick that you use to beat casual doesn't always work on brutal. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say won't work on brutal.
Yeah.
Because I used the Nurex worm. I did it the exact same way that I did it to beat casual, and I got fucking nowhere.
Yeah, it can be rough, but it's in a good way. It makes you keep trying different things. Yeah, Plague Inc. is pretty
baller. So fast. Yeah, that's the only game I've really been playing. Like I said, catching up on anime, YouTube, and just in general being a sloth.
Nice.
And this 3-day weekend coming up, and there's a foodie festival I'm going to on Sunday. Going to go see The Martian in the morning, and then there's this festival where it's just like 100 food trucks in a parking lot. And cool. You just go there and get really fat.
I'll be playing Rock Band.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd play with you, but I'll have to wait for online.
Yeah, I hope they add online fairly soon.
It's not a question of will they, it's just a question of when they.
Especially because they already confirmed that it's not going to be yearly releases. They're going to work on adding to this game through updates and patches instead of making a new title.
Because you can
do that now. You can pretty much patch a game into a completely new game anymore.
Yeah, that's honestly really good because I don't want to wait a year for online. I really do enjoy gaming with you on Rock Band, and I'm only getting so much entertainment from playing it by myself. To be completely honest, that to me is a party game. And though I do have a lot of big gamer friends here, I only think like one of them even likes Rock Band.
That's because all your friends there are horrible people.
They really are. Although one of them did get into the Star Wars Battlefront beta, and he's excited as hell.
Well, it's technically everyone is in the beta right now. It's an open beta through the weekend.
Yeah, he's got it loaded and is excited as hell. Sorry, I should.
Well,
yeah, it is.
I have it downloaded, so I might try it.
Is it PC, Xbone 2?
It's on everything.
Okay.
And it's an open beta, so you don't need a code. You don't need to get accepted. You just download it and play it.
I might join you.
I'm pretty sure it's this weekend only.
So. Yeah, no, I might join. That's why I put the word might in there. I'm actually doing things this weekend.
Yeah.
Like having fun. And I'm the wonders of having a job. I'm the standby guy, so I have to go into work every day this weekend to check check environment. And then when it is inevitably out, I have to contact people.
Yeah.
Sit there. Yeah, I'm excited. You can hear the excitement in my voice.
Well, despite our best intents, this is still a long-ass episode, so I figure we could wrap things up. But before we do, there is some actual huge news that was announced yesterday that effective as of the time you are hearing this show, the PS4 is now $349.
From 4?
Yeah.
Wow, so they're the first ones to drop?
No, Xbox used to be 500. They're 349.
Okay. Oh, so now the PS4 caught up. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. They dropped the price $50. It's their first price drop. Of course, they still have bundles for $4 and $4.50, depending on, you know, game and special edition, crap like that. But I guess considering they don't really have any big AAA exclusives coming out this holiday, they needed to do something to combat.
They do, because I honestly... And I know, I mean, I got another coworker buying a PS4, and, you know, I sat down and had a serious heart-to-heart with him as to why he was doing such a thing. But, no, I mean, people do like the PlayStation. They like the things on it. So I'm glad that they're at least staying competitive in the holiday season, because whether you have a favorite console or not, or if you just love gaming, it's better for the consumer to have a little bit of competition so that they don't rest on their laurels. Because we see what happens. I really think that... Microsoft rested on their laurels with the 360 and dropped the ball with a lot of things.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
I think Sony, when they released the PS4, they dropped the ball. And, you know, competition is good. And I want to see a little more improvement on both sides. You know, I want to see the PS4 be something that doesn't double as a grilled cheese maker.
Yeah.
And I want to see the Kinect get used. And I think only through healthy competition are we going to see things like that happen.
Yeah, because we shit talk the PS4 all the time on this show, but it's not the actual system, it's the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, the games on it are fine. I don't know a single person who's regretted their purchase, you know?
Me.
It's just, well, okay, I don't know a single person who's regretted playing a game on it.
Yeah. Like, they haven't had the most stellar exclusives, like The Order was a letdown.
Is Bloodborne
don't have much
an exclusive?
It's an exclusive, but it's not made by Sony.
Okay, but it's still a Sony exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so that's one of the actual big exclusives. Yeah. That infamous, like, their big holiday title is the Nathan Drake Collection, which is three old games.
But they're bundled together now.
I mean, it's not like Halo 2 Anniversary.
I can't shit on that. Well, I'm saying I can't shit on that because every single person and their mother with an Xbox One bought the Halo collection.
Yeah, but it's not like Halo, where Halo 2 was made from the ground up. Like, it was an entirely new coat of paint on it. The Uncharted Nathan Drake collection is 1, 2, and 3 with better resolution and slightly spruced up graphics. Gameplay-wise, it's identical. And they removed the multiplayer from 2 and 3.
Oh, speaking of things being removed, Bungie done fucked up.
What now?
The Taken King, Destiny.
What about it?
If you didn't buy that upgrade, the new game that was the old game, you actually lost game modes if you refused to spend the money. And you only bought the original, there are now modes in the game that you can no longer play.
Because they're focused around the new maps and new gameplay stuff, yeah. It's been like that with every DLC pack they put out. Like, when the first, whatever it was, the first pack came out, people were like, I can't do strikes anymore because it's only for new stuff.
And I have three coworkers that just last week all decided to stop playing Destiny. And they've all moved over to other games. They Good. All of them said it's not fun anymore. They don't like that you have to pay money to keep enjoying your favorite parts of the game, if that happens to be your favorite part of the game.
That's how it's been from the beginning with Destiny, with the first two expansions, and now with Taken King.
Taken King was the ground up. You know what I mean? Like, that was the big, you know, basically saying we remade the entire game.
Pretty much, and that's why they're selling it with all the other content for $60. Yep. Or if you already have, like, from year one, if you had Destiny and the first two expansions, it's still $40 for
the Taken
King.
But I'll definitely say that I don't... If you want expansions and DLC, then by all means, that's all, you know, good on you. I'm glad you enjoy the game, any game, enough to pay for DLC.
Yeah.
But the people who just wanted to play the original game should not be punished for it. So that's where I definitely think Bungie really... And you said they've been doing this the whole time, so they continually screw the pooch, but I think they're going to see a drastic loss if this is any indication, because the one dude who dropped it was just a huge fan. Like, he was just... his arm, you know, he was at that point where, yeah, I can't level up anymore. I can only level my armor, and I've leveled my armor up to the point where I just don't even know what I'm doing anymore with my life.
Well, the thing is, they completely changed leveling in the game. Like, before, it used to be you got to 20, and then the only way you leveled up was by getting equipment that would boost your light level. They switched it to actual, like, experience leveling.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm just saying, when people say they started over.
But this is the mentality of the guy. Like, he loved this game.
Yeah.
You know, he actually stopped Warcraft. You know, he was one of those lifelong Warcraft. He stopped playing Warcraft for like 3 months. Didn't even log in so he could play this game. And even he was like, no. You know, Warcraft never cost this much in such a short a time to keep up.
Yeah, part of me is somewhat tempted to give Destiny another shot with how much it's been changed. There's a lot of people who said, you know, it was good through the first year, but it was just never right. But this is supposedly what it should have been from the beginning. It's like the Reaper of Souls of Destiny.
Yeah, but
allegedly, I don't know.
What was Reaper of Souls cost when it came out?
$40.
Okay, so that's a total of $100 if you had bought the original and this.
Yeah.
Taken King, probably more than that, probably $120-$140 by now.
It depends on what version you bought. If you bought the expansion pass, crap like that.
If you stayed from day one and bought all the things.
Probably $120.
Yeah. But in a much shorter.
Or $140, yeah.
Yeah. But then at least I'll say with Diablo, they got it right the first on the second try and have left it alone.
True. I guess we'll see what Destiny does. Allegedly, any kind of content updates they release are going to be free from now on, and they're going to go with microtransactions for like physical appearances and emotes and stuff like that.
That's why the one guy said he was done. That's right. Microtransactions. He straight up said he was done because of those.
If you hear the word microtransactions, you're immediately like, no, fuck that, I'm done. There's so many games that they're so non-intrusive. Like, yeah, they're not. People are bitching about microtransactions in Tomb Raider, which, of course, they don't make sense because it's a single-player experience, and you're just getting boosts for the game. But you don't need to get them. They're not required.
I don't know. I just point out my favorite games, you know, Fallout and, you know, Dragon Age and those. You just got some DLC if you wanted it and didn't if you didn't. And it didn't affect your game.
Yeah.
You bought a game and it stayed a game and it never changed. It didn't take away from it. Oh, hey, we got this DLC out. If you don't buy it, you can't get to level 50 anymore.
Yeah, that's shitty about Destiny. But if what they say is true, that they're only actual charging DLC for anymore is going to be microtransactions, fucking
whatever.
So what
I'll say is, maybe this is just if you've always wanted to get into Destiny, now's your chance because you got all the bullshits behind you.
Yeah.
And if you've never played before,
now is probably the time to give it a shot. But
and then shoot us an email and tell us if it's worth our time.
Yeah, let us know if it's worth picking up the Taken King and giving the game another shot, because none of us are really sold on trying it again.
Yeah, because I will say all three of those guys were day one supporters, and I think they just got sick of like what you were saying. Just it has been happening, but maybe if they just waited, they'd have been fine with it because they wouldn't have known the bullshit that they had to go through.
Maybe.
That's
Who
what
knows?
It took.
Whatever.
But yeah, so our epilogue to the show only took 10 more minutes.
Yeah. So music this week, again, we're going to have some music from Tesla Punk. Don't forget, you could email us and win a code for Tesla Punk or one of like a dozen other fucking games that we have.
Seriously, email us, we'll send you a list to choose from.
Next week should be an exciting show because as long as nothing goes wrong, we are confirmed to have the folks from Metalhead Software on next week, which are the guys behind Super Mega Baseball that recently came out.
Chris will be here, right?
Yes, Chris will be here, allegedly, again. So if everything goes as planned, next week is going to be a crazy show. And we have codes for Super Mega Baseball as well. So just fucking email us. TheSMLPodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @TheSMLPodcast, where we give codes away on there as well. Just be
and talk about video games once in a while.
Chat with us. Be friends with us. Tell us what you're playing.
Don't throw an interception like this guy just did.
Did they? I thought they just punted it.
Nope. That was a 40-yard interception.
Directly to one guy who was standing there waiting for it.
Yeah, he decided to throw it up mid-sack, and there was one guy waiting for it who was just happened to be a member of the wrong team.
Wow, this game got good.
Yeah, that's still kind of...
27-20 with a minute for... Oh, and they...
Yeah, but
Houston punted it?
No, Houston threw an interception. All right, so yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
So that, okay, that wasn't an... All right.
Yeah, we're going to watch football,
guys.
It
legit looked like a punt. I thought that was a fucking punt.
No, here's the replay. All right, no. Joe, just give your reaction to the replay before we cut the show so they can see just how ridiculous
this
is.
Oh, my God. That was an actual interception.
You ready? And here he comes from the side. Oh, fuck! Ball. Oh, yeah, he could have... Yeah.
Thrown. Yeah, that straight up... I looked over when he caught it, and that looked like
a fucking punt. Like he called a fair catch and everything. But yeah, hey, welcome to the SML podcast. I hope you enjoyed video games and football.
Yeah. Hey, so, we're going to start branching out since Chris is the music guy, you're the movie guy. I think we could start branching out to other shit now.
Well, if we're always going to be recording during Thursday Night Football, yeah, it might just happen. So any last words?
Yeah, Houston fucking blew it.